Hey, what's up? This is Josh from JusticeGeeks.com, and this is a Just Us Geeks interview. Thunder Levin, the writer of the most famous shark and tornado movie of all time, is here with us today. How are you today, sir?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm all right. So before we even touch flying sharks, tell me a little bit about yourself, about your background, how you got into film, and we'll kind of take it from there.
Well, let's see. I was born in a cabin my father built. I was born in a hospital in New York City. A regular people hospital, not a single shark in sight. I grew up in New York. I went to film school at NYU, and then I moved out to Hollywood to take over. And that went very slowly for quite a while. And then a few years back, I started making some progress. I did a zombie film called Mutant Vampire Zombies from the Hood, starring C. Thomas Howell. And that led to writing a film for The Asylum called 200 Miles Per Hour. And that led to writing and directing a couple of films for them, American Warships, which was originally titled American Battleship, which aired on the Sci-Fi Channel summer of 2012. And then I started working on two projects for them at the same time, a science fiction film called AE, which eventually became AE Apocalypse Earth, and a ridiculous action something film called Sharknado.
Right. Now,
and unfortunately, they both went into production at the same time, and so I had to choose one to direct. And since I'd already done sort of a tongue-in-cheek horror film in my zombie film, I chose the serious science fiction film, AE. And may have been the dumbest career move of my life. I'm still not sure about that. But here we are.
It could have been the dumbest, yet it could have been the smartest career move you've ever made.
It could well have been. And the beauty of it, of course, is that now I have both, because right. Sharknado is still working for me, but I have a more serious, straightforward science fiction action film that I can point to.
Exactly. Well, you know, Chris Columbus, you know, his humongous break was just pure happenstance in Steven Spielberg's office when he accidentally found the script for Gremlins. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it really could have been the biggest break that you've ever had by not actually directing Sharknado. But, you know, at the same time, you are definitely the mind behind the craziness that is Sharknado. Now, I know that you didn't come up with the name. Asylum already had the name when they approached you. But walk me through your thought process, your writing process for this. Tell me about all of the drugs that were on the table or the hallucinogenics that were required. No, but like really.
You know, there must be something seriously wrong with me because I thought of all this stuff without any chemical assistance.
Well, then you're awesome.
let's see. First, The Asylum came to me with I was just finishing up American Warships, and they came to me with a project called Sharkstorm that they wanted me to do. And I turned it down because it just seemed like we'd seen that before, and I wanted to try something different. And so then I started developing some other stories for them. And then like a month later, they came back and they said, you know, what we really want is Sharknado. And apparently what had happened is that Asylum and Sci-Fi were developing Sharks in a Storm movies independently of each other without knowing that the other one was doing it.
Oh.
And so they had a meeting and they said, hey, we're both doing this identical concept. Let's merge our projects. And Sci-Fi had the better title in Sharknado and really the better concept. It was more off the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And so they gave me like half a page of notes, and I read it, and I said, this is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of. And as long as I can do it that way and have fun with it, you know, I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the plan. So, you know, there's a three-step process. First, you do like a one-page synopsis, then you do a three-page outline, and then you go to script. And basically the way I approached it was to come up with a realistic, believable, real-world scenario as sort of a skeleton. What would happen if a hurricane hit Los Angeles? Because this is a, you know, it's a city that our streets start flooding if it rains for an hour.
Right.
Because we're out in the desert and nobody seems to think that it'll ever rain here. So that's where I started. You know, who would these characters be? And how would they deal with it? And then I added sharks and tornadoes and just sort of kept going where any, you know, rational screenwriter would stop and say, okay, this is no longer believable. That was sort of the starting point, and I just kept going beyond there, basically.
But isn't that the great part about film, is that you can have both?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that I think that's why it's caught on. It's just, you know, it's just fun. It's just like, screw the rules. You know, let's see what we can do kind of thing.
Right.
You know, the kind of thing that, you know, when you're 10 years old and you're playing make-believe with your friends that you might come up with. Well, why not do that in a movie?
Right. You know, people are so serious about film now, and I'm not saying that there's not a place for that, because I think that there is. But, you know, movies that are not going to win Oscars, that have had some relative success at the box office in the last few years, are just good.
Wait a minute. Are you implying that Sharknado is not going to win an Oscar?
Yes.
And you really hurt my feelings.
Well, I'm sorry. maybe you can make it up. But, you know, I mean, people are so, I guess, have forgotten that, you know, sometimes you just go to the movies to have a good time.
Absolutely.
One of the guys that we do the show with, I'm horribly bad to take him to bad movies. Well, I don't want to say bad movies, but just fun, leave your brain at the door movies.
Right.
One of which was The Last Stand, I think it was, with Schwarzenegger. It just a ridiculous concept. No way any of that could have possibly happened, but man, it was a fun time. You know, and I think that's one of the reasons why Sharknado has really caught on as well as it has, because here's just this completely fun, insane concept that you can sit down and lose yourself in for an hour and a half and be like, well, you know, I don't have to have any moral cause to champion after this film. It's just fun. You know?
Yeah, and that's what we intended. And, you know, it doesn't take itself too seriously. I mean, I hesitate to mention Sharknado and Star Wars in the same breath, but when I was a kid and Star Wars came out, you know, the early 70s, the late 60s, the early 70s were a time of very serious cinema. You know, you had Scorsese and Coppola and you know, so many others doing very meaningful, dark drama. It felt like even the comedies were serious back then. And then in 77, Star Wars came out. And suddenly, people realized that it was okay to have fun at the movies. And I think, you know, I mean, I'm not going to compare Sharknado to Star Wars, but I think that's the same feeling that we tried to imbue it with. You know, and it doesn't take itself too seriously. And when people come out and say it's the worst film ever made, I say, okay, but you're talking about it.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
You know, I'm fine with that. I mean, just yesterday we were looking into the Razzies. You know, these awards for the worst movies ever, and we were all talking about that. If we were to win the Razzie, we'd all go and actually accept it in person. Because it would just be so appropriate.
That's awesome
for this film, and then I discovered looking at the Razzie's website that if we're not eligible because we came out on TV first. And they only do theatrical releases. But I think we should start a worldwide petition to get the Razzies to allow Sharknado to be
in
contention.
Well, let's make that happen. I think that's a valiant cause that you guys should you should totally win.
Because look, either we're going to win a Razzie or we're going to have to go for the Emmy. And I really don't think anybody wants to see us campaigning for an Emmy award.
Well, that's a lot of competition. But you know, that might be something you want to put yourself behind. I'm not really sure. So you know, you don't obviously sit down and write this and think, well, this is going to be pop culture phenomenon, or do you?
That's sort of interesting, because when I had finished it, I don't remember who I said this to, but I very clearly remember saying it, that someday I was going to win an Oscar, and even then, all anybody would probably want to talk to me about is Sharknado, just because it was so ridiculous. So you know, the buzz started when that first poster was released last November. You know, and then it was sort of building in the background. Every once in a while, somebody would mention that they had heard somebody else mention it, and you know, and then the week or so before it came out, you know, we started getting a lot of buzz and a lot of press. But what happened the night of that first airing? No, nobody could have planned that or predicted it. You couldn't have engineered that if you'd tried. It's just something bizarre that happened, and thankfully it was the right kind of movie that we could all just play with it.
Right. Well, and you know, it has done wonders for sci-fi. I'm not sure if it is, but I want to say that it's the only sci-fi movie. It's one of the only sci-fi movies in a red box right now, and that's a great thing. I mean, you know, on just the basic level of, you know, random pop culture knowledge that most people have, you know, you've got like Miley Cyrus and all kinds of ridiculousness like that. But then there's also something that you wrote and created. I just can't even fathom that.
Yeah, that's to be honest, that's sort of been slow to sink in for me. I was talking to somebody not too long ago, and they'd only seen like the first, it was a friend of mine, they'd only seen the first half of the film. And I was sort of ragging on them. How could you only watch the first half of the film? You never even got to the best scene, you know, with the shark eating Ian Ziering. And she said, oh, well, everybody's seen that. And I just sort of stopped. And I thought, my God, she's right. You know,
yeah.
It's gotten to the point where everybody has seen this one crazy moment that I thought of, and all of a sudden, it's just, you know, it's out there in the world. It's taken on a life of its own, and that's kind of a bizarre feeling, and I'm not quite sure what to make of it.
Well, that's okay. I don't think you're supposed to. I think you just, it's one of those things that you accept from the universe, and you know, you just accept it like you would accept a tornado full of sharks, and you just go on about yourself and continue your career.
If you were confronted with a tornado full of sharks, what would you do? You'd have to deal with it. You'd
exactly.
Have to get out your chainsaw.
Exactly. That
makes perfect sense.
I am slightly disappointed that Bruce Campbell was not in this movie. I'll just say that out loud.
Wouldn't that have been great?
Just out
maybe
of,
we can get him for the sequel.
That might be really cool. So forget sharks and tornadoes. Forget zombies in the hood. What do you want to be in 10 years as a screenwriter and a director?
Well, where I'd like to be in 10 years is where I would have liked to have been 10 years ago. So we're still at it.
Right.
I would like to be, as I would imagine most people in my situation would say, I would like to be making big Hollywood movies and running a big successful TV series. And I'm working on all those things.
Fantastic. There, you know, like to me personally, there were touches of several, you know, I recognize them because I watch a lot of TV and film. There were touches of several big name folks in, in just Sharknado, you know, just glimpses of a Joss Whedon here, or, you know, the cinematography setup of J.J. Abrams there, you know, folks have to be paying attention to you now. Is that something that you want? And if so, you know, what do you plan to do about it?
Well, sure, it's something that I want. I've been working at that for a long time. As to whether, you know, there are moments of cinematography or direction that are similar to other people, I didn't direct it, so I can't really talk to that. Certainly there's, we pay homage to Jaws and to Spielberg, I think. And in some of my other films, you know, maybe there have been moments where I've reflected some of the other filmmakers I really admire.
Who is that? Who do you admire the most?
Well, 20 years ago, I would have said Steven Spielberg and George Lucas, because I'm a big Star Wars fan, big Raiders of the Lost Ark fan. But I was not happy with the Star Wars prequels, like many people. So Spielberg still. I think James Cameron is probably the only filmmaker who's never let me down at all. In almost every film that I direct, there's some nod to Aliens, I think.
Sigourney Weaver playing basketball, I would imagine.
I'm sorry?
Sigourney Weaver playing basketball, I would imagine. That's in just about every James Cameron film, I think.
I've never gotten to work with Sigourney, so I don't know. I have, as to what I'd like to do and how I'd like to do it, I've got a big science fiction epic. Originally, it was going to be a movie trilogy, and now we've decided it'll work better as a TV series. We're trying to get that sold. Have a sort of Sharknado-esque comedy adventure TV series that we're trying to get set up. That's called Dive. And I've got a couple of feature projects that we're putting out into the world. One is a smaller action adventure film for me to direct. It would sort of be the next step up from AE and American Warships. And then a couple of scripts that would be bigger budget studio films that I would probably just sell the script for. We'll see how these things go. I've been getting a lot of meetings in the last few months that I, you know, access to people that I didn't have access to before Sharknado. Got a new agent. So things are moving in the right direction. And in a couple of years, you know, it'll be interesting to see what we've been able to make of all this.
Cool.
And of course, there will be Sharknado 2.
Right. Sharks and tornadoes continue their terror. That's really cool stuff. Thank you so much for your time, man. And not just that, but seriously, thank you for a very important piece of pop culture history. I mean, really, it's like I said, in a world where cinema and film has gotten to be so serious, it's really just nice to be able to lose yourself for an hour and a half. And you know, this movie does that better than any movie I have seen in a long, long time, from the top down.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. If people weren't taking to it that way, none of this would be happening. So, you know, thank you for getting it, and thank everybody for getting it, because it could have been a disaster.
Well, not the good kind of disaster, but thank you so much for your time. And we look forward to seeing what we have in store from you later on down the road.
Well, I hope I won't disappoint.
This has been a Just Us Geeks interview.